every cigar that that guy has put out, I don't know what factory he's working with. It might be in our episode or it might not be in our episode, but man, I'm telling you, I'm gonna start. I buy his cigars. Absolutely. Yeah,
that flight was. There were five in our flight, and yeah. I'm telling you, they were all really exceptional.
That was the banger episode of flights for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. But guys, listen, you don't have to take our word for it. Like we tell you sometimes, go to your brick and mortar, ask for these cigars, see if they can get them. If not, look online. We always start with brick and mortar.
Yeah.
But you got to try these cigars. These cigars are worth trying 100%.
Yeah. All of the Mills Diaz limited edition.
Yeah. I got one for you. It's going to cost you, though, double the price. Yeah. Because they're limited.
Like, yeah.
You know, but yeah. So all in all, I mean, on these top five list, like I think everybody's top five list is pretty good this year. You know,
no, thanks, Dad.
Yeah, for sure.
I was a little shocked you picked the Rocky Patel.
So that's a funny story. Like, I've been trying to get in with Rocky Patel at PCA for the last three, four years.
3 or 4 years.
And yeah, for sure. But nobody ever wants to talk to me because they're always so busy just selling cigars, right?
That's what they're there
do.
For.
That's what they do. No, I get it.
I mean, you know, they're salespeople.
But the media guy talked to me this last time and give me one of these to smoke, and it was fantastic. And we'll talk a little bit more about it when we come back from the break.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
And welcome back from the break. Hands on the wheels, folks. Hands on the wheels.
That's right.
10-2. I want to take a second. We were finishing up talking about the Rocky Patel Year of the Snake. Rich made a comment. What did you say?
No, I was just saying you had said that you kind of prejudged it because it was, you know, kind of a...
No, that was Imami.
No, that's the Rocky Patel. You said you didn't want to like it.
Oh, yeah, during the break. Yeah.
So you are wrong again.
So, yeah.
So let me mark this now.
Are you my wife? This is so weird. My wife tells me I'm wrong all the time.
My wife.
All right, so listen.
No, but I was just saying that, you know, we were just talking about some of these maybe big box brand, big cigars where they're coming out with...
they have so many cigars they come out with.
Yeah, but they come out with one that, you know, every now and again, it's surprising.
It's a banger.
We were just talking about, you know, that they kind of have to these days because they're competing with these boutiques that are coming out with... You know,
I love boutique cigars, but the problem is just because it's boutique doesn't mean it's good.
Absolutely.
Oh my god. Damned once again.
Yeah. Yeah. You could be 100%. A boutique brand and make crap cigars.
Absolutely.
Like 100%.
Well, you know, and there's a lot to be said about, you know, these pillars of the cigar community, right? They have a fan base, right?
Sure.
And so they have to continue to produce those things that, you know, and give them the foothold that they've had and established in the industry.
Yeah.
And so from that perspective, right, like you may not have a lot of opportunity, let alone the resources to do some like experimental fun blends, whereas, you know, the boutique brands are, you know, picking through, you know, the kind of the, not to say like leftover, but the bales that do not fit into those normal big box.
Well, if brand profiles.
And so,
yeah. Well, listen, with this Best of Season 3 episode,
13.
We
ha-
Yeah, we're in 13.
Did I say what I say?
You said three.
Season three. Yeah, I need to drink another Big Machine Spiked Seltzer there. All right, so we've covered some of our top five cigars. We've tried to pick some balance with some easy-to-find and LE products. Hopefully limited edition.
Thank you.
Yeah, for those laymans. Hopefully you could put some of these in your short list while browsing Humidor in the near future. We also wanted to discuss the state of smokes, and we're going to wander between cigars, pipe tobacco, and the third rail of THC. We're also going to drift between issues of regulatory perspective, consumer, and manufacturer. But let's start this consumer cigars in general off with the year of the five cigar band.
Year of the five cigar band.
I think it is. I think that needs to start real soon.
That's a good old boy Mike custom right there. The year of the five cigar band.
Yeah. Why just have three, four? Go for five.
Man. I don't know. Why don't they
could
just, well, they yeah. could just be like Matt Booth, wrap it in paper and shove a whole tube on it. Right, you know?
There you go. Works for yeah. me.
I love that though. Tobacco is still feeling like the long echo of the cigarette regulations. And protecting minors.
Well, you know, so with, you know, cigars and consumers, you know, I just, I guess part of what I'm thinking about is that I just don't really see what I would describe as a lot of innovation in terms of new products, you know, that have been released. I just feel like people are pumping out more puros from Honduras and from Nicaragua, and or they're working with tobaccos from both of those countries, you know, extensively, or the DR.
Well, that's where tobacco grows.
I know, but it's just I keep on waiting for something amazing, you know, to come along that, you know, just looking for just a shred of innovation.
I'm right here.
Yeah, I know.
I'm right here.
I don't know. That's my impression is that I just...
Well,
I
what feel, about that recent law I that feel went like into every, effect?
I just feel like everything's on cruise control, you know, right now. Yeah.
Well, did you see the recent law that went into effect in California?
I did.
The one that lumped premium cigars with flavored products like vaping?
Yes.
Boo.
Yeah. Premium cigar trade groups are still protesting. The biggest point of impact is the price that they set a floor price of
$12
per cigar in California. I wonder what Kevin has to say about this. You know,
well,
artistic Kevin. Yeah, which was meant to be in effect to turn minors and young adults away from cigars. Do you think it's turning them away?
I think they would have to be turned towards it first to turn them away, right? I don't.
Yeah.
I don't see the correlation there.
They have a big cigar smoking young people in California. I mean, I don't see it here.
I think if anything, it's going to be THC products and flavored e-vapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big time.
Because that's what they can get away with.
Like, and it's cheaper.
And they're cheaper, yeah. For $25, you can buy a vape that'll last you 500 puffs, you know?
I really and you can put it in your pocket about the fact that that becomes a model law for other states to pick up. And because the way that state legislatures are lobbied by common trade groups is that they use the same legislative language from one jurisdiction to another. And that one was written so poorly and so broad. And I just don't feel like it is going to be as effective as they wanted it to be.
Oh, and
well, by the end of the year, California will have fallen into the ocean and we won't have to worry about their regulations anymore.
I look forward to that.
So well, that's
with the number of people leaving the state.
Yeah, they're all coming here.
Well, I just wonder if these lawmakers have like this epidemic of their kids raiding their humidor.
No.
You know,
it's
in the lobbyists.
Yeah, it's money and lobbyists.
Sleeping
well,
on the
only thing is
going
to be in their
garbage.
Humidor $12 stick.
Yeah. Well, that brings us around to the third rail of THC. That's the chemical in marijuana and is now infused into a number of things like candy, potato chips.
Potato chips.
Every drink. Yeah. Weed potato chips.
Oh,
are,
dude. However
are
you want it. Yeah. The Cheetos?
Oh, yeah. Yes, Cheetos. Cheetos. I love them. All right. Specifically. Yeah. The Canigars. Curious if you've ever had one.
What's a Canagar?
It's a cannabis cigar.
Yeah,
really.
We used to call those cigars. Blunts.
That's right. Yeah, it's a big time.
Is this like the White Owl that you?
It's a blend of tobacco and cannabis.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we called them spliffs back in the day.
Okay.
And that's what we would do. You know, not that I would ever condone that, but you know, by the royal we would do those. Yeah. One you major French? Production issue is that nearly all these products are being hand rolled. Since that usually adds too much moisture for the common automated cigar roller to work with, these enhanced cigars, are these the sticks of our near future?
No.
I don't think so either. I think they need to keep those regulations so far away from cigar regulations.
I think they're crossing the streams.
Yeah. It's a lobbyist, and those lobbyists need to be careful because they are definitely treading waters where they don't need to be swimming.
Well, any you know, marijuana purist, I think there's the ritual that goes along with handling those things yourself, right? Yeah. Should be left alone.
Sure. Those left-handed cigars.
That's right.
That's right. Well,
jazz cigarette,
whether you smoke
will.
The left-handed cigars or the right-handed cigars, we're here for you.
Yeah.
And just remember, you've always got a friend in us. Call us, write us, tell us about your everything. But that's it for Smokes episode season 13. A lot of cool things. I'd like to thank good old boy Rich for being here.
All right, man. Don't take our word for all of these things. Go out and try it yourself. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. Good old boy Benjamin.
Is it season 3 or 13?
It's 1-3. I just read the 3.
Too many figures for it.
It's 1.3.
That's right. That's right. Now, good old boy Mike.
You know, I am so looking forward to the things that we have planned for season 14. Great, you know, great year in and of itself. But
the mute button, Mike, the mute button. We went over this 10 minutes ago.
I'm going to ask you to come back, enjoy another exciting episode, and to keep on sipping.
All right,
and
guys.
Smoking.
And this is me telling you to keep on smoking no matter what it is. If you catch me on the streets, we'll smoke a left-handed cigar together.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the dude in the basement studios, your host, the good old boys, will see you all next time.
Diverse, independent, yours. You are now listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, British Columbia.
This is Berno. Isla Guadalupe, off the western coast of Mexico, is famous for its massive colonies of petrels, shearwaters, and laysan albatrosses. Now, conservationists hope it will host black-footed albatrosses too, like Bruno. In 2021, Bruno was one of a dozen black-footed albatross chicks from Hawaii's Midway Atoll to Mexico. The move was part of a larger effort to establish a new black-footed albatross colony on Isla Guadalupe as rising seas threatened their native breeding grounds. On Isla Guadalupe, a research team led by marine ecologist Julio Hernandez fed the chicks by hand and placed decoys that looked like parents to help them learn to be birds. Once Bruno and the other black-footed albatrosses were old enough to fledge, they soared out to sea with the native Laysan juveniles. When they started returning to the colony 2 years later, the black-footed albatrosses were a bit awkward. Some tried to woo a Laysan mate, but their courtship dances were incompatible. And though Bruno socialized happily with others of his species, he didn't feel the spark with any of the eligible ladies. Until La Güera, Julio says.
Bruno's leg band is number 5, and La Güera is number 4.
She'd been his next neighbor in Hawaii, and his crate mate on the flight to Mexico. Turns out, Bruno had been holding out for the girl next door.
It's a beautiful love story. I will bet anything that they will be the first couple to form, and theirs will be the first egg we get from these relocated albatrosses.
For Bird Note, I'm Shay Gisbell.
Bury me deep within the covers. Your body is a wasteland, just like mine. Kill me now, don't want to see the sunshine. Leave me with the blue light of my phone.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you from Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus in British Columbia.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. In 2008, Texan Chad Raines took over his family's cotton farm, which had been worked by his father and grandfather before him. But he struggled to stay afloat.
It just kept getting harder and harder. The prices of everything that we bought to manage the farm kept going up.
So he started raising sheep. That was more lucrative. But in drought years, he struggled to grow crops to feed his flock. So he had to either buy feed or lease additional land.
Raising sheep was still more profitable than cotton, but we were just barely getting by.
Then Raines heard that farmers could get paid to keep their sheep at solar farms. The sheep graze around the solar panels, keeping weeds from shading them, and the farmers can still harvest meat, milk, and wool. So now, Raines raises sheep on 9 solar farms. He says he's finally making a profit and building a business he can pass on to his sons.
We were out at one of our sites, and it just dawned on me. I stepped back and realized that I was out there along with my dad and both of my boys, just to think that there were 3 generations of us all working together. You know, it's meant a lot to our family to be able to keep it going.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby, BC, striving to provide points of view that are rarely expressed in mainstream media.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.